As we finish off our sermon series, we started this a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of the year, called Do You See It? Do You See It? Talking about, do we see various aspects and characteristics of God's Word? And as we start today, I have an activity for us along the lines of Do You See It? And some of us might have seen these things before, but when I think about Do You See It? You know, sometimes we have these things where we need help to be able to see what's really going on. And so you might be familiar with some of these kind of like optical illusions or visual tricks, where each of these following pictures has like two different images in it. Some of these are like common, you've seen it before. Like this one, there's like a young woman looking to the left, or a very elderly woman looking kind of towards the ground. And so you might have seen this one lady looking this way with a little bonnet, right? There's an older lady with a larger nose and a bigger chin, right? That's looking towards the bottom left. Do you see that? Does anyone see both of those things?
Her,
the ear of the lady.
Of course I
can. Nose.
Yeah, it's like a babushka here with the ear of the young woman is the eye of the older woman. All right. Exactly. So that's the question. Do you see it? Do you see both of them? Right. Next picture. Right. Here, there's also two images. Right.
Okay.
One image is a image of a young lady, and if you look at focus on the black part, it's like a musician playing a saxophone. Right. Another one here. Boom. Can you guys tell me what two animals you see in this picture?
A toad and a horse.
Horse.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta turn your
head. You gotta tilt your head a little bit.
Oh,
there's a horse looking like a...
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Right, sometimes like there's multiple things going on, but we would miss it unless we were told or are helped. This is another set of pictures. There's an artist named Oleg Shiplak, and he has... Oh, it's a little dark here. He has these pictures where he draws people. Usually they're outside doing certain things. You can show all three of them. And there are different people doing different things. But when you zoom out, you get to see something else in the picture. Right? He does this thing where he sneaks in faces of people into the scene of people. Does that make sense? Do you guys see that? In each of them, there's like, it kind of looks like if you look closely, you see the individual people. But if you zoom out, you see like faces of people. Right? Like he uses like the houses, the two eyes and things like that. And I think, you know, these visual illusions are fun. You know, sometimes they're kind of tricky because you have to think about how to look at things differently. But for many of us, I think this is what it's like in reality. There's a lot of things going on, but we only really see the things we're focusing on. And sometimes we need help to see what's really going on or the deeper things that are going on. And especially for us, as we look through the Word, this is what's important. We need help to see what is really going on in the Word. That there's many things we might be able to focus on, but sometimes we got to see what is really there for us. And so the one thing for today is to ask God to help you to see His glory in His Word. Ask God to help you to see His glory in His Word. And we're going to look at Psalm 119 as we close out this time thinking about, God, can you help me to see how wonderful your Word is? Because so often in life, so often when we're reading the Word, it's easy to miss what beauty there really is, right? Like some of the other pictures, if you were just to skim over them, you would have missed one of the two elements. In the same way, it's really easy for us to miss what's really wonderful and good about God's Word. And so we're going to look at Psalm 119. And for those of us who know, you know that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It has 176 verses. And so today, we're going to focus on just one verse. On just one verse out of the 176. But I think it's one verse that kind of helps you to see and understand the psalm in an important and new way. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verse 18, which is really even what the sermon series was based on. Mm. Right? And this is what Psalm 119, 18 says. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That's why we said this sermon series was, do you see it? Do you see the wondrous things in His law? Do you see the wonderful things in God's word. And I think for many of us, it's hard to do. We need help doing that. So we're going to see and discuss what God is wanting for us here in this verse, in our message today. So please join me in a prayer as we pray for this time together. Father, we come to you. We pray that you would open our eyes, God, that we would see the wondrous things out of your law. Lord, we humbly acknowledge, God, that we just need you today, for you to speak to us. Lord, for those of us who might have been fasting, who are feeling tired, those of us who are just feeling out of it, because it was a hard week, because we had to drive through snow to get here. Lord, we pray that as we look to you, as we look to your word, as we hear you, as your Holy Spirit is working in us, God, that you would refresh us, God, that you would restore us, and that you would help us to get a glimpse of you in your goodness and in your glory here today. We thank you for this time. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. As we look at this passage, the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that we need help seeing. We need help seeing. That's the first half of this verse. The psalmist says, open my eyes. Right? Open my eyes. And it introduces this idea that we need help seeing. And when we think about it, when we look at the psalm, when we look at the Bible, we realize we need help seeing in at least three different ways. The first way that we need help seeing is that we need help seeing in the midst of difficult times. We need help seeing in the midst of difficult times. Psalm 119, one thing that's interesting about it is that Psalm 19 is really long, but it's broken down into 22 different paragraphs, 22 different stanzas. And the reason for that is that each stanza covers one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's like, you know, we have 24 letters in the American alphabet. 26. It's as if someone wrote a poem of 26 stanzas, and each stanza was focused on and starting with the letter A or B or C. And so there's 22 different sections. And in this section of Psalm 119, he's talking about how he's going through a difficult time. He talks about how he is a sojourner, like a wanderer, right? He is a refuge. He is not a permanent resident of some place, but he's someone who is kind of just wandering around, someone who is not permanently settled. And so there's a sense of loneliness. There's a sense of instability. And later in this stanza, in this paragraph, he also talks about how there's people who are plotting against him. There's people who are against him, and he's experiencing people's contempt, their anger, their criticism, their spite. And it's in the midst of this difficult circumstance that he's in that he says, God, would you open my eyes? And for us, I think for many of us, it's in the time of difficulty or disappointment that we often have trouble keeping our own vision straight. One way I experienced this in a very tangible way, I remember once, and Danny might remember this too, we were training for a marathon back in the day, a half marathon back in the day with a group of guys. And we would run around Ann Arbor to prepare for this half marathon. And our training pace, I would not recommend it. Every week, we just added a mile. And so every week, over the 11 weeks, every week we just added a mile. And then eventually, our hope was we would be able to run 13 miles after training for like 11, 12 weeks. And so one of our training runs, it was so hard that we were running down this hill. Now, I remember as I was running, I was so exhausted that I would just start blacking out. And then I don't even remember closing my eyes, but I just remember opening my eyes, like waking up in the middle of the run down this hill. You know, so like at the beginning, boom, open my eyes, I'm at the top of the hill. Boom, I'm in the middle of the hill. Boom, I'm in the bottom of the hill, right? And it's like, so I'm so exhausted, so difficult that I can't keep my vision straight. And when we get to the bottom, I'm like, wait a second, I need help. And so we stopped at a Cottage Inn to get water because I was passing out while running. And I think for many of us, I think in some way we've experienced something like that in that. It's often when we're frustrated, often when we're challenged, often when we're annoyed, often when we're feeling criticized or feeling lonely, we just have trouble keeping our vision straight. And it's easy to get tunnel focus, tunnel vision on what we don't have, on the things that we don't like, on the things that we're frustrated about. Right? It's in the time of difficulty that oftentimes we forget the good things that are going on around us. We're unable to see the bigger picture of what's going on in our lives. And so it's in the midst of this difficult time we actually need help seeing. And so it's actually quite challenging if you think about it, right? Like, have you ever considered that it's actually in your time of difficulty, in your time of frustration, in your time of challenge, that what you need more than venting, maybe more than shutting down, maybe more than disengaging or running away from your situation, you know, have you ever considered that what you need in the midst of your difficult time is just for God to help you to see what's going on? Right? Because that's what he's doing. He's in the midst of his difficult time saying, God, help me to see. Open my eyes. And I think for many of us, I think it would really challenge how we approach and navigate some of our difficult times. If we were to consider, man, actually what I need in this moment is for God to help me to see better. Help me to see more clearly. And so the next time you're feeling like you're in just a difficult space or moment, or maybe right now, this week, is that difficult space or moment, you know, I think this, which is challenging here, to say, hey, God, can you open my eyes to see what's really going on in the midst of this difficult situation? And so that's the first thing we see, is that we need help seeing in the midst of our difficult situations. The second thing we see is that we need help seeing even if we already see a lot. And so when you zoom out from this paragraph in Psalm 119, and you zoom out to the whole psalm, right? Like, this guy obviously sees a lot of things about God. He wrote a whole 176 verses about the good things he sees about God and his word, right? One interesting thing, each of those paragraphs have 8 different lines. And throughout the whole psalm, he describes God's word in 8 different ways. Like, he's just like, so he sees so many things about God's word. And so he calls it with, he uses 8 different words to emphasize different facets of God's word. He calls it God's law. He calls it God's testimonies. He calls it God's precepts, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his promise. And he calls it his word. And so this guy obviously sees a lot about God and his word. Like, there's a lot that he knows. And he spends 176 verses talking about how good it is. And he focuses on how it gives him life and how much it gives him stability and how much it gives him freedom and wisdom and encouragement. And he sees a lot about God's word. And yet, even as he sees a lot, there's a hunger for more. He's like, God, but open my eyes to see even more wondrous things out of your word, out of your law. And I think, you know, that's a challenge for some of us here, maybe especially some of us more seasoned saints, right? To consider, to say, like, God, even though I know a lot about you, even though I've seen many things about you, even though I could write a 176-line poem about you, could you help me to see more of who you are? Could you open my eyes to see even more of who you are? Because, you know, when we're younger, when we're first starting out, like, maybe every time you're going through a passage, you're like, wow, I never noticed that. Wow, I've never seen that before. This is really cool. But I think for many of us, somewhere along the way, you read Genesis 1 enough times at the beginning of the year, right? You struggle through Leviticus enough times. And it's hard to say, like, God, you know, it's very easy for us to kind of get locked in a sense of complacency or locked in a sense of discouragement or routine. And one thing that's challenging here is that even in the midst of already seeing a lot, we're challenged to say, God, would you open my eyes to see even more? Right? And so we have to wrestle. You know, is it possible that somewhere, as we've been trying to follow God, that things have grown stale, or that our hearts have grown complacent? You know, or maybe even some of us, it's like we know so much and we've read so much. Literally, some of us have been reading the Bible for decades, learning about it for decades. You know, is it possible that we kind of feel like we don't really need God's help anymore? Like, we know enough. As long as we have enough resources, as long as we have enough experience, we don't need his help to open our eyes. And I think the challenge is here is even the guy writing this, he's like, please open my eyes to see more of who you are. And lastly, when we zoom out, not just from this paragraph, not just from this psalm, but when we zoom out to the whole Bible, one thing we're really challenged with is that we need help seeing because we can't see perfectly on our own. We need help seeing just because at the end of the day, we need help because we can't see perfectly on our own. If you look at the Bible, you know, throughout all of it, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's many places where it talks about the idea of blindness. It talks about the idea of blindness, and oftentimes it talks about blindness, like physical blindness, so that we can see something about spiritual blindness. You know, you might have, you know, heard Jesus talking about people who have eyes, but they cannot see, right? And he interacts with people who may be physically blind, and as he heals their physical blindness, there's a sense of, oh, there's something he might be doing with their spiritual sight as well. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the story of a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And some of you know about him. He's just a blind beggar. He's a poor beggar who can't see. And in the story, it's in Mark, Matthew, and in Luke. He cries out to Jesus, and then people push back. They tell him to shut up. They're like, no one wants, you know, Jesus is too busy for a blind beggar like you. Right? They tell him to be quiet, but he keeps on crying out to him. And eventually the crowd's like, okay, fine, Jesus said you can come. And he throws off his cloak and he runs, and he finds his way to Jesus. And when Jesus asks him what he wants, he responds, like, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Right? And Jesus heals his blindness on the spot. And it's my favorite story. It's one of my favorite stories for a couple reasons. One is that there's an interesting part, like I said, when he throws off his coat. What you need to know is that back in the day, you know, beggars would use their coats, they would kind of spread it on their lap, and that's where they would collect money from people. You know, so you know, nowadays we have like buckets or guitar cases or hats, that's where people put their money, right? But for the beggars, usually they would spread their coat, you know, they don't have much. They have an outside coat, and their inner tunic. Outside coat, they would put it down, that's where the people would give their money in alms. And part of what you see is, as he's throwing that off, he's like, I'm a beggar, I'm poor, but I don't care. Even this small security I have, I'm willing to throw that away if I get to encounter Jesus. And it's details like that that show me, man, like it's so beautiful when people seek Jesus with that kind of surrender. And the second reason that I really like the story is that when Jesus asks him what he wants, Bartimaeus is ready. You know what I'm saying? Like Jesus is like, what can I do for you? He's like, he is ready. This is his one shot, his one moment, right? And he's not gonna drop it, let it slip, right? He is ready for it. And he's like, let me recover my sight. And this is important because, you know, some of us, we've been reading through a BRP together. And there are people, when Jesus is like, what can I do for you? Or what do you need? They're like, you know, I don't know. I've been here for so long. No one's going to take me to the pool to heal me. I don't know what's going to happen, right? And they don't realize who is asking them. And so they're like giving excuses. But this man, Bartimaeus, is right. He's like, okay, let me recover my sight. You know? And it shows kind of the faith he has. And lastly, you know, what's beautiful about this story is that when you read through the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, you see that this guy, the authors use him to contrast with the Pharisee. Because what happens is that Bartimaeus is one of those guys that you would ignore. He's a poor beggar. He doesn't have much. He probably can't participate regularly in worship time because he's outside. He's begging. And yet this guy who doesn't have physical sight has some spiritual sight to see that Jesus is more than a normal teacher. And that contrasts these religious leaders who their physical sight is fine, right? And they're able to engage in worship all the time. But they don't have the spiritual sight to see Jesus for who he is. And it's so beautiful because God takes this, you know, unassuming person and shows us, man, actually, you could have all the religious things going on, you could have physical sight, but what you really need is spiritual sight. And I think it's so cool how he uses those people and contrasts that out. And I share all of this, not just because I like talking and this is my favorite story, one of my favorite stories, but when we look at the Bible, we're confronted. And I think it takes some humility and honesty to receive this. But the Bible really tells us we can't see perfectly on our own. That on a spiritual sense, we are blind apart from God. And this is why we need help seeing. Because like we have like an inability to see what's going on spiritually. I've talked about before, over the years, I'm sure you'll know the things I care about. But you know, even physically, you have limitations to what you can see. I talked about there are colors that human beings cannot see. We just don't have the ability to do that. And the Bible makes it very clear, on a spiritual level, there's just some things we cannot see apart from God opening our eyes. And I think we have to really think about, man, when I think about myself, how do I view myself when it comes to spiritual things? How do I view myself when it comes to spiritual sight? Because it makes a really big difference here between someone who realizes that they are spiritually blind apart from God, or someone who can see what's going on but just needs a little help. And what I mean by that is, like, imagine when Jesus asks blind Bartimaeus, what do you need? Like, it's the difference between Bartimaeus saying, Rabbi, let me see, versus him saying, Rabbi, give me a better prescription, you know, or Rabbi, give me glasses. It's a huge difference between someone who's just like, oh, I just need help. Like, I just need you to help me see better, right? Versus someone saying, I'm blind and I need you to help me see. And I think some of us view Jesus, view God, more as just a spiritual eye doctor who helps you better develop the sight that you have, versus seeing him to say, actually, God, apart from you, I'm blind, and I need you to do a miraculous work to open my eyes. And not only for us, but when we think about our friends and our family, there's a huge difference between us saying, us believing, man, apart from God, people are spiritually blind, or apart from God, people just can't see very well. And I think that's the difference between when we're praying for salvation, when we're praying for our friends and family. Are we just praying, God, you would just give them better 20/20 spiritual vision? Or are we saying, God, apart from you, they can't see the goodness or the truth or the love of who you are. And God, we need you to work to open their eyes. And I think it's a little offensive, right? It's a little challenging to say, man, do I really think that I'm so bad that spiritually I'm blind apart from God, right? The Bible goes even further, right? It doesn't just call us spiritually blind. It says we're spiritually dead, right? We are spiritually dead apart from God, and we need him to do a miraculous thing in us. Or do we think that we're just people who are not doing that well, and we need just some coaching and help? And I think that's the challenge here, is that we need help seeing, because apart from God, we are spiritually blind. And so, as challenging and as uncomfortable as it may be, I think it's also very encouraging to think about the idea that apart from God, we are spiritually blind. And, you know, on one hand, it humbles us, right? Because we realize we're not that great. We don't even have the tiniest bit of spiritual sight apart from God. But on the other hand, it's encouraging, because that means that everything that you can see about God, every ounce and morsel and bit of spiritual sight that you do have, is something that was given to you by God's grace. It's encouraging. It's like, oh man, if I can see the goodness of God, if I can see the beauty of God, if I can see who Jesus really is, that means that by God, by his grace, he has been opening my eyes and helping me to see. It's not just something I just figured out because I read the Bible enough times. It's not something I just was able to get because someone explained things to me better. But that means that also that God opened my eyes to be able to see who he is. And so it's also a very encouraging thing for us. And I think it helps us to understand God's grace better. And so in those three ways, we see in this one small verse that we need help seeing. And we need help seeing in difficult times. We need help seeing even if we already can see a lot of good things. Because ultimately, we can't see things apart from God. We can't see things perfectly apart from God. And the second part of the verse shows us what it is that we need to see, right? What is it that we need God to open our eyes to? And the second part we see is that God reveals wondrous things. God reveals wondrous things. The second part of the verse says, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And here, the word wondrous, which no one uses anymore, but wonderful kind of sounds a little too weak, right? We use wonderful too much. We use wondrous not enough. But the idea of wondrous is that, like, this awe-inspiring thing, or this thing that evokes wonder in you. You know, on a small scale, you know, if you're like me and you watch enough YouTube videos about food, you see people creating these visually amazing pieces of food that's like literally fills me with wonder. Like, how did they even think about that, make that? Or you see people make things with chocolate and you're like mind blown. You're like, wow, that is wondrous, right? This past week, one of my friends, he's visiting through the Grand Canyon and some of the different national parks in that area, and he's been sending me pictures. And if you've been there before, if you know what I'm talking about, you know how awe-inspiring some of these places are. Right, this is a picture I took when I was there last year. And it's funny, like, the pictures don't do it justice, but everyone's taking a picture anyway. Because, like, it's so awe-inspiring when you're there. You're like, I gotta try to capture this somehow. And it's really kind of sad, right? The pictures get so flat, it doesn't in any way. But it's because, like, when you're in some of these places, when you visit some of these places, you see, man, it evokes a sense of awe and wonder because of the sheer size and scale of things, because of the beauty of things. And this is what the psalmist is saying. He's like, God, show me these awe-inspiring things. Show me these wondrous things that evoke wonder in my heart when I'm reading through your word. And it's interesting, he says that, like, show me these things in your word. Right? I mean, he's not saying, show me these things in general when I'm outside in life. He's not saying, show me these things as I visit these places. You know? And then for many of us, we live in an age and a culture where, you know, people seek out wonder in the experiences that we have. Right? I think time after time, they talk about how the younger people, rather than desiring possessions, we desire experiences. Because that's what we want. We want to be filled with wonder through experiences. Or, you know, just in general, more and more of us, like, we need pictures, we need media, right? We need music, we need videos to feel captivated with a sense of wonder. But here it's like, no, God, help me to see these awe-inspiring, wonderful things in your word. And so then the question is, like, what are the wondrous things in God's word? What is this wondrous stuff that, you know, the psalmist is talking about? And, you know, there's a lot of things that are good about the Bible. Like, even if you talk to someone who doesn't believe, right? Even if you talk to English majors or literary people, like the Bible itself, apart from the religious aspects of it, there's just so much going on. The stories, the drama, the poetry, right? There's many things. We talk about, like, how many people talk about how William Shakespeare was probably influenced by the King James Version. Right, and how, like, more than Shakespeare being the greatest literary pieces ever, it's like actually the King James Bible and the language that's there and the drama that's happening, those things, like, those are things that are, on a literary level, wonderful and masterful. But that's not the wondrous stuff, right, that the psalmist is talking about here. Wonderful how our couch transforms, right? Even people, you know, apart from God, could talk about, oh, how many good principles there are in the Bible. How many good teachings there are. How it tells us different things, right? But even that's not what the psalmist is talking about. Because he's saying, God, I need your help to see what's good about the Bible. I don't just need English literature skills. I don't just need a moral compass. But I need to see what's wonderful about the Bible. I need you to help me this, to see these things. And what is it that we see that's wondrous about God's word? We see that's wondrous in that it points us to Christ. That what's really wonderful about the Bible is that it points us to Christ. There's another story at the end of the book of Luke, where after Jesus resurrects, he meets some of his disciples who are walking on this long road to Emmaus. And so some people talk about the Emmaus Road. And as they're walking along the road, Jesus joins them, but they don't really recognize him. And as they're walking and talking with Jesus, he suddenly gives them this, like, master class of understanding God's word. He, like, gives them the key. When we look at the Bible, he gives us the secret to unlocking the wondrous things about God's word. And this is what he says in Luke 24:27. It says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then later in the passage, he meets them again, and he talks to them about how everything in the Bible is written about me. Mm-hmm. And here in verse 45, it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And what you see happening here in Luke is that he is finally helping people to understand and interpret God's word in the way that it brings out the wonder. And the key to that, he's saying, is, like, everything in the Bible is written about me. Everything in the Bible points to me. Everything in the Bible shows the need for me. Everything actually about the Bible is about me. And that is what the disciples needed help to see, right? It says they opened their minds, because until this point, they didn't have the spiritual sight to see that all of the scripture was about Jesus. And so this is what he's saying, that all of the things in the Bible, all the wondrous things, the core of it is that it points to Jesus. Because otherwise, we would just look at it as a history book, or we would just look at it as a rule book that we have to follow, right? But he's saying, no, all of these things are things that are pointing to me. And that's what's awe-inspiring about it. Not that it's just a great piece of literature, not just that it has a lot of significant religious wisdom, but what's awe-inspiring about it is that it points to me. And so this is what we should be seeing and asking ourselves, right? Every time we're reading in the Bible, we should be saying, God, like, how does this point to you? God, how does this point to you? And what's helpful is that in 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about how though we are blinded, right? Though we are blinded by our sin, though we are blinded by Satan, what God does is he opens our eyes so that the God who said light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God is the one who opens our eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in every part of the Bible. And so this is what we should be asking for. This is what we should be desiring to see every time we're reading the Word. We should be desiring to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you're reading through those hard parts in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all these other places, we're like, God, help me to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ here. When we're reading through Job, when you're reading through the Psalms and Ecclesiastes, you should be like asking God, God, help me to see your glory in this passage in the face of Jesus Christ. When you're reading the prophets and you're reading laments and you're reading all of these, you should be saying, God, help me to see the glory of God in Jesus Christ in these passages. This is what we should say, like, God, this is what it is to behold the wondrous things from your word. Otherwise, it's too easy to walk away from your time in the Bible saying, you know what, that was nice. It told me something about how I should interact with my neighbors. You know what, that was nice. It tells me something about how I can be better steward of my time. You know, and even those of us who are maybe more mature, like, oh, that tells me something about how I can process my emotions. And all those things are true. The Bible is not less than that. The Bible definitely gives us helpful pointers and tips about how we can live our lives in a fruitful and meaningful way. But if we do not walk, if we walk away from the Bible before we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ, then we're missing out on the real wondrous things that are there. And that's what we need help. That's what we need God's help in seeing. And again, it's not just for you, but this is what we need to be asking for our friends and our neighbors and our unbelieving family members and our coworkers. So God, don't just help them to get a better religious understanding. Don't just help them to understand the history of what's going on in the Bible. But God, would you open their eyes so that when they look to you, when they look into your word, you would show them the glory of God in Jesus Christ. I think those are the things we should long for ourselves and for others. Bless you. Right? And then what does it say? It says, like, what happens as we behold the glory of God in Jesus? What happens as we see the wondrous things that point to Jesus? 2 Corinthians tells us that when we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. As we get to see Jesus Christ in his glory through the Bible, that's what God uses to transform our own lives, right? The more we see Jesus and his goodness and his glory and the wonderful things about him in the Bible, that's what God uses to transform our own lives. And that's how he takes someone who is spiritually blind, spiritually dead, to someone who is a vibrant person who is being matured and formed into the image of Christ. So as we see him for who he is in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that's what we should be desiring for time in the Word. That's what we should be desiring for our lives and for others. That's why the one thing for today is to ask God to help you to see his glory and his Word. How can we respond to this word? First is just to ask God to help you to see. And I think for that, you know, for us, this just means that we need to acknowledge our need. And this is hard for some of us. Like, even for me, right? Like, now I know so many things about different parts of the Bible. I can whip up commentaries. I can think about classes I've taken. I can think about these things. And it's so easy to forget that actually still, I need God's help to really see what's wonderful about Jesus through this particular passage. I need Him to be able to point me to that. And I need Him to work in my heart until it becomes wonderful. I think, you know, that's a different difficult thing too, is some of us were so inclined. It's like, oh, I know how this passage points to Jesus. It points to Jesus because blank, blank, blank. Right? But it's still not wonderful to you yet. Right? It's still not awe-inspiring to you yet. And we need to be like, God, help me to see and savor and meditate on this until it is wonderful to me. Until it is good. Until I can see, wow, you really are great and glorious and mighty. And so I think, you know, for us, we can say, God, help us to see. And especially for those of us, we feel like, I still can't see what's good about the Bible. And that's what my life was, right? For 20-some years, I had grown up in the church. I know a lot about the Bible, but it was never that great. I mentioned many times, I used it when I couldn't go to sleep. I just read it so it would help me fall asleep. I couldn't see what was good about it. And then gradually, God just opened my eyes and it started being wonderful and amazing to me. That's what we need. And that's why we need to ask God to help us. The second thing is just to meditate on God's word until you see Jesus. As I mentioned, you know, we live busy lives. It's easy to rush through day to day. I know some of us, we don't even stop to eat. And some of us, when we do stop to eat, we scarf it down. We don't think about, the crumb of this bread is delicious. Or like, the mouthfeel of this omelet is great. Like, right, it's very easy for us to not savor the food we eat and just rush through it. And a lot of times I think that's what happens when we read the word. Right? We just read it, oh, okay, can I summarize it? Yeah, I can do that. Boom, and I'm on to the next thing. Right? But actually, to see the wonder and goodness of God, oftentimes we need to really meditate. Right? And you don't have to meditate on 176 verses at a time. You can just meditate on one verse, one thing. Just be like, man, this one thing. Let me just try to meditate on. Let me think about it on my way to work. Let me think about what I'm eating. Like, well, why is this good? Why is this wonderful? You know. And I think for us, what the crucial thing that's missing from our times in the Word is that we don't meditate. And maybe we're just used to studying for tests. I don't know. Maybe we're just busy, right? So it's easy to just get the topic on information without really savoring, slowing down and meditating. I think that's why the fast is helpful, right? Is that hopefully there's at least some space, either mentally or, you know, in your calendar, where you can slow down a little bit and just say, let me meditate on this thing. And that's why for those of us who are on the Bible plan, I try to read it in the morning, relative morning. But throughout, I can't write anything until the end, because I'm like, let me think about it. Let me savor this. And sometimes, oftentimes, gradually throughout the day, like, oh, okay, like, I never considered it from this angle. And I think, that is something that's really good that I need for my life. So I want to encourage us to meditate on God's word. And lastly, let's pray that God would open people's eyes. You know, when Ivy was encouraging us to go share the gospel, or when, you know, even when we prepare for different outreach events, we're not going around to give people spiritual eyeglasses. You know, we're going around asking God to open blind eyes. And some people we encounter, their eyes are open. God has opened their eyes, and they do need help seeing. Right? I don't want to discount that. I mean, we do need help. But for many of us, it's, you know, what we need is God to open eyes that are blind. And so I think we need to spend time praying. God, would you help my family member? Would you help my coworker? Would you help my friend who I care about and love? They just don't seem to be able to get it. They just don't seem to be able to see it. God, would you open their eyes? They need your help. And I think it helps us to approach God and intercede for people in a different way when we realize that what they need is spiritual sight. And so I think that's one another way we can respond to God. As we close out this time, I want to encourage us. If there's even, again, a tiny ounce of you that sees Jesus' sacrifice for your life, if there's a tiny ounce of you that can say, man, I acknowledge that apart from God, I have nothing good going on. I am totally spiritually dead apart from Him. And yet it is such a good thing that this big, powerful God has given me spiritual life. If we can see the beauty and the goodness in that, we can celebrate and thank God for the spiritual sight He's given us. For those of us who are trying, you know, but it still feels hard to see God and His beauty and wonder, and my encouragement is that there is not one single time in the Bible that God turns away someone who is humbly seeking after Him. There's never, God never tells someone who's like, you know, who asks, hey, can you help me? God never goes, nah, man, you're not ready yet. It never happens. Never goes like, nah, you're not appointed for eternal life. Like, it never happens, right? It's all, anytime someone in humility turns to God in faith, asks for help, asks for wisdom, God always graciously says, you know what, yeah, blind Bartimaeus. Any one of us probably would have ignored him on the street. But God goes, no, if you turn into me and you have this genuine request for sight, I'll grant it to you. And I think it's such an encouraging reminder that Crystal said it earlier, God is infinitely more gracious than we are. He's infinitely more merciful than we are. Like, never should we think God's grace and mercy is less than our own, right? Never should we think that He is less kind towards people than we are. But He is that much more. Anytime we turn to Him, ask for this help. I mean, He is a good Father who gives good gifts. And so that's our encouragement to say, God, even if I can't see it now, God, help me to see this. I want to see you more. I want to see you more in your word. That's something we can believe and trust that God will do in our lives as we turn to Him in humility and grace. And so I want to lead us in a time of closing out. And just, you know, give us a couple minutes to pray on our own. And I just encourage us, for all of us, especially as we head into this week of the fast and as we're trying to spend time in God's word, let's ask Him to open our eyes. Some of us, we know God. We've seen Him. We know He's done this work of spiritually opening our eyes. And we do need Him just to help reveal more of Himself to us in His word. Others of us, we might feel really stuck. Like, we can't see the goodness in His word. And maybe you just need to be like, God, I feel so blind. I need you at this time to help me see again or see for the first time. And so no matter where we are, let's just spend a couple minutes asking God to help us to see the wonderful things about Him in His word. And so let's just do that for the next couple minutes together.